Greetings of love to everybody here this evening. It's a blessing to be here with you all at Elm Street tonight. And also would bring you greetings from the Providence congregation. And just trust that the Spirit of God can continue to direct this service. Enjoyed the singing this evening and the song selection. Furthermore, I enjoyed the devotional and the teaching there as we've heard it, and the exposition on that story. It did me good to listen to a very detailed description of how that looked and how it must have been. We can only use our imagination, right? But it does us good to do that. Now this evening, the subject before us is huge, and I trust that what I'm going to share this evening is in line with what you as a Sunday evening planning committee had in mind to be presented, because I was given a title, and maybe I did wrong in not asking more of a context window, which you were looking for or looking at. I might have done wrong in that, but I decided to take the title at face value, and what I'm going to share with you this evening, or going to try to share with you, is from the context that I decided to look at it from. Please understand that what I say tonight is spoken from a very limited understanding and will be far from all-inclusive. It's not going to be a very broad subject in the sense as big as it might be. But I trust that someone here tonight who is facing ripples in their family can go home with at least a few points that could potentially be a blessing to them. Now, I did check in World Book Dictionary, which is the one I go to probably as quick as any, what a ripple is. A ripple is a little wave or anything that seems like a tiny wave. And may it be said that sometimes ripples in our lives become major waves or storms. And then, as I was studying, I thought about that poem, "Drop a Pebble in the Water, Just a Splash and It Is Gone, Yet There's Half a Hundred Ripples Circling On and On and On, Spreading, Spreading from the Center," and so on. And it goes down through that, and how some ripples, it says, "Drop an unkind word," one of the stanzas, "drop an unkind word and soon it's gone. You soon forget what you said, and yet those ripples are affecting people out there." By the same token, it says, "drop a word of love and kindness," and then those ripples go and go and go and go. And some of them go indefinitely. Because by the same token that a good thing starts, a good seed is planted, a good word is spoken in due season, sometimes angry words have done the same. And they spread and they spread and they spread, and they affect lives and touch people hither and yon and wherever all. So this evening, from a little bit of personal experience and some things I've observed, and asking for a few ideas, I decided to speak about a few things that cause ripples in a family. And as I said, this might not be what the Sunday Evening Planning Committee had in mind, but it's what came to my mind. And I plan to use some illustrations tonight with this. Things that cause ripples in the family. What makes ripples in the family? Number one, when someone in the family or several in the family make bad decisions. Maybe a moral failure of some kind, and that could be multiple different avenues or channels. When somebody in the family chooses a life companion outside of godly directives, when there is within the family abusive behavior, whether that's physical abuse, verbal abuse, whenever there's abusive behavior, let me tell you, it causes ripples in a family. And sometimes they become waves or beyond. There's also bad choices in the family if someone in the family is favored above someone else. Have you ever seen a family where child so-and-so gets all the passes, gets all the breaks, gets all the freebies, gets all the doting, and another child kind of is the black sheep of the family. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever observed that? It makes ripples, my friends. It does. Speaking of bad choices, I remember one time we went to a prison service in the city of York, Pennsylvania. And when we got back to the place where we were going to meet, a certain parking lot in Lancaster County, there was this young man who was troubled. And I could tell he was troubled, and he soon were standing by his vehicle, and we were talking. And he started to share about his life. And he started to tell me how his father had a bad habit, a drug habit. And he said because of the hardships that he experienced as a young man, he needed to, day by day, work hard and work hard and work hard just to keep after things in the house. And one day he was wealthy enough to get his own bicycle. And he loved his bicycle, loved to ride his bicycle. And the day came when he went out from this to get his bicycle to ride it, and it wasn't there, all to find out that his father took his own bicycle that he bought with his own money and sold it so he could buy more drugs. Imagine that. Does that make ripples in a family, or doesn't it? And that's just one boy in a large family. And then that causes relationship struggles. And that goes right into my next point. What causes ripples in a family when church life is not peaceful? When church life is not peaceful, ripples begin in a major way. Imagine being a child when your father was silenced from the ministry for whatever reason. Imagine being in a church where there is authoritarian leadership, where there is favoritism in leadership, when somebody in the congregation, they do the exact same thing you do, and yet for some reason you're singled out, called out, whatever else, and the other one goes right on free. No one says a word to them because they're kind of, as it were, favored. And church life then becomes very unpeaceful, and there's ripples. It can potentially cause ripples in the family. Obviously, there would be relationship struggles then. What causes church divisions anyway? Did you ever think through that? What causes ripples in the family when there is a sudden death or an impairing accident? When that kind of thing happens, it causes ripples, because everything that was yesterday changes today, and potentially for the totality of the unforeseen future. When there's a sudden death or an impairing accident, all members in the family need to do a major readjustment of emotions and thoughts and relation and how we deal with the vacancy or the issue at hand. And it can get very dramatic, because not all people take it the same way. And I could take a while to tell you this, how it was when my brother passed away suddenly. As healthy as any young man could be, and gone in an instant of time. You probably have your stories like that, and I can tell you how it affected my brother and myself and my sister and my parents day by day by day and week by week after that event. It never will be the same afterwards, because there were ripples, and it was a strange yet dramatic and lasting effect. What causes ripples in the family when we need to relate to close family that is outside our faith and practice? There can be really major ripples. Let's just suppose that somebody in your family chose a life companion that's outside of what you felt comfortable with, and yet now you do need to work with them, you need to relate to them, you need to somehow include them and somehow help them and relate to that one. They dare not be, as it were, put on the shelf and put out in the cold. They cannot be that way, and yet you do want to watch which way the influence in the family is going. And it's huge. And how do you have family gatherings whenever some of the dress standard is not what it ought to be, and on and on? How often? When? How? Ripples in the family come when someone in the family is spiritually zealous, and perhaps even outspoken, when another one in the family, maybe another sibling, is extra quiet and maybe fairly mute about spiritual things and their expressions are very subdued and quiet compared to the one that's just outspoken and saying what's on top of his mind and out in the front and stirring up, getting something happening over here and talking to somebody over there. And yet the one can look at the other one and say, well, you're not very spiritual. And he can say, well, you're too dramatic. And maybe you've seen that kind of thing. There can be ripples in the family when there is prolonged sickness or emotional issues. I knew a man years ago. He was a single young man come to visit us in Central America. He was serving in another specific location in Central America at that time. And he said, well, when my father was a younger man, maybe even before he was born, he said, my father was in a bad fire and he was burned very badly. And because of his physical handicaps as a result of that, he lived with a lot of pain and lost a lot of disfiguration in his body. And he lived in a lot of pain although they had a few children, home life was not very good. And he said, I've lived with this all my life. A dad that needs to live on pain medication and emotional, not quite normal type stuff. And he was talking to me about it and sharing. And I said, my dear friend, I said, I hope the day comes in your life when you will find a young lady who loves you, not because of the home you came from and not because of who your parents are and everything else, but loves you for who you are. And I didn't see that man after that. But I did find out by the way of the grapevine, and because I was in a church in that location some years later, that he actually did find a fine young lady to marry. And they had several children. And yet, that emotional, physical, whatever it was of his father, left a profound impression on his life. Ripples in the family. What else? When there are serious financial reverses. I don't know who in this audience might have seen that or been affected by that over the years, but when there are serious financial reverses, it makes ripples in the family. I probably won't spend much time on that one, but it does. When there's a fire, I had a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. They were sitting in church on a Sunday morning and they got a call. Somebody came and said, hey, go home as fast as you can. Your house is on fire. And by the time they got there, it was a small house. They were just newly married. I mean, barely like 6 months. If I'm calculating correctly, about 6 months. They got to the house and there was nothing to be saved. Everything was gone. Up in smoke and gone. There was nothing to say, nothing to do besides watch it finish burning. The wedding dress, all the pictures that they had, I mean, it was gone. Nothing left except the clothes they had on their back because they went to church. I may guess they did have a vehicle of some kind. And they had other ones. He had his forehead opened up because of a tumor that grew behind his head, forehead, at least two, if not three times they opened it up. And dealt with that tumor. In that process, took out the optic nerve on the one side, so he lives with one eye functional and the other eye not. ripples. Hospital time. Multiple. Again and again. Ripples in the family. And then the rest of the family relates to that. It took them a long time to get reestablished financially. Thank God they're doing better today. Goes maybe similar to what we've already talked about, but it's another aspect of ripples in the family when there is a lack of togetherness in church life. When mom goes to one church and dad goes to another church, then the children become very, very disjointed in who gets my allegiance, who gets my attention, where do I go then? And sometimes the very sad reality is that sometimes the children don't go anywhere. And sometimes, and I want to speak very gently here, my friends, but sometimes there's ripples in the family when somebody in our close family changes church affiliation. But please let me hasten to say that sometimes church affiliation changes are necessary. Sometimes they are. And whenever I watch somebody weighing those decisions, somebody better be very careful and prayerful, whether you're the leadership of the church where they're thinking about coming to, or whether you're the one that's watching them make a church change. You need to be very careful and very prayerful about it, because it's so easy to have a wrong attitude in those times. It's so easy to make a mistake when you see somebody in that ripple, and yet the family has feelings, and why couldn't they stay at our church? Our church was good enough. And when I think about how it must have been back in yesteryear when families were leaving the Lancaster Conference to look for something more distinctive, and how hard that must have been for families and people and situations and cousins and uncles and aunts and everybody weighing in on such heavy-duty decisions. And the mudslinging, and I heard it through all kinds of avenues, how that must have been then. And some of that still continues today when there's changes in church affiliation. I mean, people don't spare words sometimes, and yet sometimes changes in church affiliation are very, very, very necessary. And it's a tough road for whoever's there. And it does cause ripples, if not in the immediate family, it does in the broader scope of things. Especially if most of the family's in one setting, it makes ripples. It makes ripples in the family when someone in the family faces church discipline. If you've ever sat in a meeting and one of your family members was placed on church discipline, a time of proving because of whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it was. If one of your family members was ever excommunicated, it causes ripples, because it somewhere in a mother's heart and a father's heart, somewhere in a sibling's heart, there's something that just, really, you mean it. Now it's my turn to face this. And it's one of the blessings, my friends, and I'm going to try again to speak very gently about this, but it's one of the blessings that I have appreciated about our church life here. And that is that among the things that happen when someone is excommunicated, we don't have the layer of shunning to deal with. I will tell you a story that happened to a dear friend of mine and his family. And this would never happen in our churches here, because I know our bishop brethren well enough. But one time there was a man who was dressed in very similar to what I am right now. His appearance would have been all but the same, but he had been excommunicated from a given setting. But the church setting that he was excommunicated in practiced shunning. And he happened to be visiting at a church that day where it was also practiced. And there was somebody walking up to a person looking like myself right now with a suit coat on. So the bishop noticed that he was greeting a brother in the middle aisle. And he walked back off the pulpit and physically, get away from this guy. He's excommunicated. You just greeted him. Just a severe outbreak. Let me tell you, that kind of stuff causes ripples in a family. And that man had many children. And not many of them have any time for a church life that they came from. No time at all. It causes ripples, my friends. It causes ripples. It causes ripples in the family when someone in the family is called to a distant outreach or a foreign mission. The list of reasons people hear why they better not go to a foreign mission or to a distant outreach is as long as my arm or longer. I mean grandparents, I mean grandchildren, I mean for not being able to be home for the family, I mean the birthday parties, I mean seriously, I mean just it's as long as you can imagine. Everybody pours in. You can't go to such and such a place. That's way too far away. I mean, no. One time there was a young man who was called to go to with his family, was asked to go to a foreign mission field. And as he contemplated and prayed and visited that mission field and heard about it and contemplated and prayed and thought about it, it seemed like all signs pointed toward going to that place. Approximately 8 flying hours away from where he lived at that time. 8 flying hours is not 8 driving hours. It was a long distance away. His dad set him down one time and said, "Son, if you go to such and such location, you're going to put your mother in a grave. I'm going to tell you something. If that man was you, you would think about it about 155 times before you boarded that plane and headed out with your family to go to the foreign mission field. If your dad set you down and said, 'Son, if you do it, you're going to put your mom in her grave,' you'd think about it." There's ripples in the family, sad to say, when it is time to discuss inheritance and divide it. I just heard a couple days ago about a setting much plainer than here, where inheritance dividing time came, and people as plain as crows just fighting like cats and dogs over who gets what dollars and what cents and what possessions and what heirlooms and what properties and lands and businesses and tools and etc. Causes ripples in the family, and some of them ripples don't go away. They just stay there. There's ripples in the family, and if you're getting worried, this is the last of what I have on my list. If and when there are times of persecution, if you were to get home this evening from this church service and discover that you had visitors in your house while you were here at church, and the cookies are robbed out of the pantry or the freezer, and things are upside down in your house and the drawers are pulled out. That might not ever happen in Lebanon County, and yet it could. If there was physical assault, if there was imprisonment or death, and many, 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 many of God's people through the years have experienced all the above and more. But that causes ripples in the family too. But let us just remember, when we had a Sunday school lesson like most of us had this morning, maybe we ought to be thinking about what happens when wokeism and a lot of other things in our world get worse and worse, and people do not have a love of the truth. God's people might know more of it in years to come than they know now. And those years to come might not be so far out in the future. Bible examples. of ripples in the family. Did you ever think about Cain and Abel, the first two brothers? There was some ripples between them. And some of these you'll quickly connect with things we've already shared. A difference in faith, a difference in their view of God, a difference in the way they think about and make decisions about life. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he did that. And God testifying of his gifts, and he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel had a different connection to God and a different view of God than Cain had, and it made ripples. Can you imagine being Adam and Eve after that event happened in their lives? And their firstborn son killed the secondborn son. And really, think about how dramatic that must have been. And I'm sure they went back again and again and again and made the connection between eating some fruit in the garden some years before and that event. I'm sure it connected well in their minds. Many ripples in the family, many of them are a result of sin, but not all of them are. Just remember that. This was a different one, this conflict that existed between Sarah and Hagar. That was a different one. Both connected with Abraham, the father of the faithful, the father of the Jewish race, if you please. But between those two ladies, there was obviously ripples. The Bible makes reference of that in both testaments. Isaac and Rebekah started out with a beautiful home, seems like. Many preachers have preached out of Genesis 24 about the courtship experience and what that might have been and how Isaac found his wife, but it seems like later on there was some favoritism, and I already singled that out as being something that causes ripples in the family. There was issues there. And the deceitfulness of Rebekah and Jacob pitting against Isaac and Esau, and then later their spouses. Obviously, Rebekah comes to Isaac and said, I'm distressed because of the daughters of Heth that Esau is choosing. These daughters from the land in which we dwell, we can't have this. Let's send Jacob to such and such a place. But this didn't stop with Isaac and Rebekah's family. When Jacob found a wife, we know what happened. He got her older sister first. And then there was rivalry between Rachel and Leah. And then the relationships continued to degenerate. And Jacob finally had a son to his favorite wife, if you please. That was Joseph. And the favoritism was so obvious, he made him a coat of many colors. And then it goes on and goes on. And most of us know what happened to Joseph. Another Bible example is Manoah and his wife. Manoah and his wife had a strong desire to raise that child right. And many, many, many preachers have preached on the title of that Manoah asked that angel, how shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? It's a frequently used title, a good title. And yet what happened to Samson? Samson began to love the daughters of the Philistines, and he wanted a wife from there. And his father asked him, son, isn't there someone among our people that would serve? And of course, the Bible in the book of Judges says that it was of the Lord. And I still don't know what all that means. I've never studied it out in the Hebrew and the original meanings, nor all of that. All I know is that there was some caution and some pause, and I'm sure there was many prayerful moments when Manoah and his wife pondered what they did to raise their son as a Nazarite from the time he was born till then. I'm sure they had a lot of pondering about this, and it made ripples, I'm sure, in their own experience. And whenever finally the whole story played out and they had to go down and fetch Samson's body from underneath the rubble of that building, I'm sure there was a lot of grieving, a lot of ripples. in their own thinking, and a lot to process at that time for them. Different kind of a ripple between Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Moses and Aaron obviously were older than Aaron and Miriam, I'm sorry. Aaron and Miriam were both older than Moses was. And they had certain things that they felt Moses was doing wrong, and they felt free to challenge him about it. And there was some turbulence there. Going on in Bible history, we come to a man by the name of David, a man after God's own heart. Did many things right, but he made some bad choices. One day, instead of being out on the battlefield, 1 Samuel 11 tells us that he was on a rooftop and he saw something. Saw a woman. And most of us know what happened. And then you start looking at the ripples that came after that. An Amnon and a Tamar. An Absalom. And on and on. And you go in there and study the story of David and Absalom and their relationship and that the sparring that was there till Absalom wanted to take over the kingdom and forced David out of his house. And all that happened after that, and then the ripples, the family ripples that just went on and on and on from that experience. I want to look at another kind of ripples that Jesus speaks of in his teachings, and now I know it took too long to get into the Bible specifically, but we're going to go there now. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the mother against her, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. This is taking this whole thing of ripples in the family to a different level. Because sometimes for the kingdom of God's sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, there will be, for the cause of following Christ, for the cause of standing for truth, for the cause of maintaining a safe environment for my family, sometimes, because there is that reality for someone to deal with, sometimes the cause of Christ calls for ripples. And some of these illustrations here don't sound very peaceful, do they? But it is a reality that sometimes the kingdom of God's sake requires. And sometimes you need to stand against a lot of opposition to make a church affiliation change. Sometimes for the kingdom of God's sake, to go to a foreign mission field or a distant outreach location, sometimes you need to just simply say, God's calling us as a family to do it, we must do it, regardless of the cost and who says what. Sometimes it must be done in a right spirit, my friends. But if Jesus says what he said there, we'd better listen to it at some level. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Here a person was coming to Jesus because he was having a ripple in the family. Incidentally, a ripple about inheritance, and we've already cited that as being one of the reasons why ripples in the family occur. And he's asking Jesus to help him settle the dispute. And Jesus says, I didn't come to be a judge or divider over you. And then he says, beware of covetousness. We probably should cite some other teachings of Christ or the apostles, but I'm sure you're wondering if there's any answers to ripples in the family. And the remaining time, Lord willing, we want to look at 7 points. If you tonight are in the middle of or are facing ripples in your family or wonder what to do if you're there, what are some things we can do? I have 7 ideas. Here again, they're from a very limited vantage point. They're from a very, maybe just my own thoughts, but hopefully they can be a blessing in some way. Number one, when there are ripples in the family, someone needs to know where God is and how to communicate with Him. Whenever there's a problem in the family, whenever there's ripples of the kind we have talked about and a whole lot more that were too numerous to mention, somebody better know where God is in this big scenario. Where is God? And whenever you find where God is, you have an anchor point for your faith, for the turbulence, for the ripples. You have an anchor point for your life when you find out where God is. And when you find out how to talk with God and communicate with Him and He with you, you at least have an anchor point when there's ripples. Prayer, serious Bible reading and Bible study, search for divine guidance and openness with the brotherhood. When there's ripples in the family, we need to know where God is. When I was about 20 or 21 years of age, I was visiting in another community, another church fellowship, and I found out about a young man who had just committed suicide. He was a member of a conservative Mennonite church. He was a young man in one term of Bible school. I think they said he asked 7 different girls, and none of them were interested in his attention. And I don't know the whole story of his life. I never heard a lot of details. But I just went, and after commenting with somebody, and I asked him, so what did the preacher preach at that funeral? Well, they said the preacher in that funeral, and if I said his name, you would know who it is, many of you, said that in that funeral, he preached out of Psalm 90, and he made it clear that to that dear grieving family, seeing their brother, their son, their grandson in that box and knowing how he got there, the preacher stressed again and again, you need to know where God is in this very, very trying and challenging situation. And that is the anchor point that we all need when there's ripples in the family. Number two, when there are ripples in the family, those who are godly-minded, those who are like-minded, need to stand together and depend on each other. When there's ripples in the family, those who are like-minded, godly like-minded, they need to stand together and depend on each other. And sometimes that might be a very small group, especially if we're needing to take a stand against drift and worldly religion or something like that. Sometimes that might be a small group. But if the like-minded can stand together, there's a lot of power and blessing in unity. And that might be hard to achieve in some cases. But it might be a very lonely life. But if God's blessing is there, we don't need anything else to support us. If there's a few people around who still are our friends, that might be all we have left. I know I'm speaking of some different scenarios here, but number three, when there are ripples in the family, what is right is still right, and what is wrong is still wrong, regardless of the issue at hand, regardless of last name, regardless of the physical geographic location. Right is still always right, and wrong is still always wrong. And when there's ripples in the family, there can be an anchor point if we know what God's will is and we do it. Right is still right. Number four. And for this, I would like you to look to the book of Malachi chapter 2. When there are ripples in the family, sometimes our spirit is very tested. We need to really watch our words and our thoughts when there are ripples in the family. You know, and I'm sure you have seen such things in your lifetime, that somebody can do something that is right as right and say the right thing and just hit it squarely like a hammer on the head of a nail and just boom, right there. But their spirit is arrogant. There's something off tone. There's something that they're right, but their spirit, just like caustic or something. And you know that some can be repulsive. More important than doing the right thing is the spirit with which we do it. The Bible tells us that Daniel was a man who had an excellent spirit. And if there's anything I would covet to be a person who would have a right spirit in the time when there's ripples in the family. That a person, maybe they didn't agree with where you come out in your position. Maybe they didn't agree that you decided to go to this church instead of that one, but that they would find no fault with the spirit with which you did it, or the attitude that you carried about yourself and about your decisions. And my dear friends, to have a right spirit requires that we have a high degree of humility, walking in humbleness with God. Now I called your attention to Malachi chapter 2. And now we're reading in verse 15. And I know that this is citing a specific context, a specific aspect, but it still applies. Malachi 2:15, and did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. In those two verses, once in each verse, the same command is given. Take heed to your spirit. Pay attention to the spirit with which you talk, and the spirit with which you express yourself, and experience the spirit with which you act. And that is so, so important when there's ripples in the family. Because maybe we made the right decision, but if we were arrogant and we're out to prove someone else wrong, if we're out to prove that I'm better than they are over there or them over there, and I found the right way, and you, sorry people, those kind of things will never work. My spirit needs to be very, very Christ-like when there's ripples in the family. And two times he says, take heed to your spirit. Take an inward look at the thoughts and intents of your heart. And that message goes, and what I preach in this message tonight, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me, because some of this gets really close to some things we're dealing with right now. Number five, when there are ripples in the family, we need to try to minimize contention, if we can, and try to make peace. But we cannot compromise truth or right principles. We must try to make peace. We must try to minimize contention. But we cannot compromise truth or right principles. The Bible says so plainly, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. But it also implies, by the merit of what it says, that it's not going to be possible everywhere in every situation. As much as lieth within you. Another verse very similar to it, in meaning at least, it says this one. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Following peace is one thing, but it needs to be combined with holiness. It's one of the many Bible twins. And sometimes because of holiness, there will not be peace with a given situation, because there's a clash of kingdoms or a clash of interest. It one runs into the other one. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Number six. When there are ripples in the family, we will need to forgive somewhere, sometime, and let the past be the past. This is a huge point, because I'm from some personal experience. Sometimes I've needed to forgive, and about that time you thought it was taken care of, and about that time the wave comes in all over again, and you need to deal with it all over again. And I guess that's my interpretation. It's probably the wrong interpretation, but it's my interpretation of 70 times 7. Because there's a couple things in my life that I had to forgive it and forgive it and forgive it until I lost count of how many times. Because of the intensity and because of the severity of ripples in the family. This or that or that. Forgive. But my dear friends, we need to forgive somewhere, sometime. And it must be a forgiveness that comes from very within us. And it's not possible without the help of Almighty God. Somewhere, sometime, we must forgive and let past be past. Number seven, when there are ripples in the family, someone needs to discover what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and come to rest by living it out, regardless of what the surrounding circumstances may be. We need to find out what God's will is in this situation, in this rippling turbulence. What is God's will? And once we know what that is, it can bring rest. If nowhere else, it can bring rest in our own hearts and help to bring calmness, at least within the immediate family. Possibly. We hope so. The will of God needs to predominate, whatever that might be. As I said before, this might not be what y'all had in mind, but it is what the Lord put on my heart, and I trust it's a blessing to someone. May the Lord help us as we face potentially ripples in the family or beyond. May God bless each one.